The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, the Lord be with you and bless you for tuning in to this podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. I'm Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of the church, Epiclesis. And as always, I love to steer people over to our website, epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can always find more information there about what this thing is called Ancient Future Faith and all kinds of resources from our church. On this particular Sunday, the guest teacher was my friend and mentor and former professor, Dr. Jack Van Marion. And he was wrapping up a wonderful weekend retreat. We were focusing that weekend on the ascension of Christ. And what follows is a wonderful teaching from Dr. Jack on this particular Sunday morning, looking at the lordship of Jesus in the heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father, and most especially, his role as our advocate, our mediator. Now, here's Dr. Jack Van Marion.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chris. It's a privilege to be here with you and your family, the body of Christ. It's been a tremendous time for us, my wife Roseanne and I, to be here and to lead you in certain parts of teaching. But you are teaching us also so much and blessing us by the way you worship, by your hospitality in particular. So thank you so much. I've asked Chris to read a gospel passage, and I invite you to listen carefully as Chris reads from the Gospel of Luke. Enter the passage quietly, and then after Chris is done, I'll read a passage from Hebrews, and then we'll reflect together. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." And then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, 'I've come to do your will, O God.'" First, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." Then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know, folks, about you, but it seems to me that all of us, at one time or another in life, need a lawyer. For example, you may want to plan your estate, write a will. You need a lawyer. Or should you be sued by individuals or a business entity? Well, you need a lawyer. Or when you should be, God forbid, accused of a crime, you end up in court and you need some legal defense. When a marriage falls apart and when divorce procedures come in play, you may want to protect the well-being of your children and you need a lawyer. It seems that all of us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, are at times in need of a barrister, an advocate. Do you have someone to advocate for you? A lawyer? When I watch the news and listen carefully to what some of our politicians or leaders are talking about, I wish I had access to them. Secretly, I would love to sit down in a private room with President Trump and simply talk about some things that are close to my heart and I believe close to the heart of God in terms of justice and righteousness, in terms of helping a nation to bond together. But you know, I have no access. No chance that I will end up in the White House and being led into one of those rooms of deliberation. Sometimes when I listen to the verdicts of the Supreme Court, I wish I could talk with some of these justices and knock some sense in their hearts. You know, when I hear the decisions about abortion, they do not want a voice somehow that speaks for the well-being of the unborn child and could only shake them. But I don't have access, and I doubt that you have access to the High Court, the Supreme Court of Justice. Where can we go to find an advocate? An advocate who knows our needs, who knows also when we yearn to be heard, and who knows how to respond to us. Perhaps some of you think that, well, you know, I don't need an advocate, a lawyer, why should I? But let me ask you, who will defend us in the court of God's justice? Who will mitigate our guilt? And who will defend us before the judge overall? Who will pay the wages of our sins, my sins, so that we are no longer in debt to God and under that cloud of condemnation? More than that, who will hear our voice advocating for justice in our lives? Who will pay attention to our causes? And who will mediate on our behalf in a world of accusers and mockers and rebels against God and his people? We need a barrister, a mediator, an extraordinary, out-of-this-world advocate. Zechariah, we heard the story, read by Chris, showed us the need for an advocate on that Yom Kippur, that day of atonement in Jerusalem. On that day, Zechariah had been appointed to serve as Israel's high priest, a grand privilege, a privilege that would involve rituals. He would have to be cleansed and purified. He would have to bring an animal sacrifice unto God. He would be sprinkling the blood of that sacrificed animal on the altar in the most holy place. Only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, could a high priest enter that most holy place, the very presence of God, and pray on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of sins, so that the people could receive God's favor and blessing on them for the coming months and year. Zechariah, as Israel's high priest that year, pictured the need of God's people, and he advocated on behalf of the people using the blood of animals and pouring out his heart to God in the most holy place. And the people, well, year in, year out, they waited and waited outside in the temple courts on the Day of Atonement. They waited for their high priest, Zechariah in this case, to come outside and pronounce that long-awaited blessing from God. This annual sacrifice, this Yom Kippur, pointed to our need, foreshadowing indeed the need of God's people for a perfect mediator, an advocate par excellence. Why then such an advocate? Well, the people's sacrifice of animal blood was imperfect, and the prayers of Israel's high priest needed to be repeated time and time again. And the high priest himself, well, he was an ordinary person. Dust he was made of, and to dust he returns. And he was without perfection. But that endless, repetitious need for a perfect sacrifice was finally being met when Zechariah offered up his prayer in the most holy place. Did you listen to the text? An angel appears. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. What was Zechariah's prayer about? See, when you read the text and listen carefully, you may get the impression, I'll read it for you. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of your birth. What was Zechariah praying for? Was he praying for a son in that most holy place? God's response to Zechariah's prayer was wondrously answered indeed. Zechariah, yes, would have a son, and the child would announce the coming of one who would be the perfect sacrifice, who would take away the sins of the world. You see, Zechariah, as the high priest in the most holy place, was praying that God would receive the sacrifice of the people and bestow on them his blessings and forgiveness. That's what he was praying for. And God answers him right there. An angel announces, you shall have a son. Do you remember the story? Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, having been barren all that time, becomes pregnant, and she hides for 5 months. Then, in the meantime, an angel had appeared to Mary and announced that Mary would have a child, Jesus. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, when she came out of hiding, Mary visited Elizabeth. And the text says this: when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That son that was announced to Zechariah, announced to Elizabeth and to Mary and to the world, the answer of Israel's, God's people's prayer. Mary was carrying the child that would become our high priest. And this child in Elizabeth's womb made the announcement in the sixth month when his mother carried him in the womb. So that we may have forgiveness of sins, so that we may no longer be under condemnation, so that the way to God the Father will be open and you and I have access to the throne of God. In that way, God sent us his advocate. It's marvelous. It's wondrous and long, long awaited. The Day of Atonement with its sacred high priestly rituals, all done under the supervision of the law and manifested in Israel's divinely appointed feasts and festivals. Why? They were shadows. Shadows. And Jesus came and he fulfilled these shadows. Here's the real thing. That is, in the words of the writer of Hebrews, he embodies or he embraces the realities that are hidden in the shadows. Listen to the text from Hebrews. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away our sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Ever since Jesus completed his work on the cross and ascended into heaven, he has been meeting the needs of his people, our need for an advocate, a mediator, a perfect high priest. I made reference to the cross because when we go to Calvary, we notice that when Jesus surrenders his spirit and dies, we notice that the veil in the temple is torn. Can you imagine the dismay of the priest in the temple when that happened? That the veil was torn, that people now could walk into the most holy place. There at Calvary, something is happening. They thought they got rid of this meddler, this Jesus. And first there was darkness and an earthquake, and now we have this veil being torn. There's so much stuff going on. And the people who have been looking at these shadows are getting a tizzy because Sabbath is coming and we have to get ready for Pentecost and everything is falling apart. And there at Calvary, Jesus surrenders his spirit and he descends to the realm of the dead and he is buried. And while he is sanctifying the grave and while he has already opened the way to heaven, symbolized by the tearing of that veil, we see our high priest taking his seat. Jerusalem is in a tizzy, and the heavens are in awe and rejoicing, and the rest of humanity coming to grips with what is taking place. We also stand in awe, because when the Lord Jesus was seated, he also took with him and seated you and me. Because through faith in the work of the Spirit, we are united to Him. The text says that we are to go to this advocate. Since we have such an advocate who knows and meets our needs, let us walk with Him in our daily pilgrimage or journey of faith. In fact, that's what Hebrews 10 calls us to do. Go to this advocate. I may not be able to go to the White House or the Supreme Court, but you and I, we may go to the highest heavens, to the throne room of God, and through the advocate, we may have the ear of God bending to our prayers. And thus the text says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, the White House and the best lawyers in the country, they can have it. They can never do what Jesus Christ is doing. We may enter God's presence. And we learn that this entrance, this access, is a new way. So says the text. Yeah. That's important to remember. Animal sacrifices is a dead-end way. And having high priest year after year is a dead-end way. And trying to placate God with our good works so that we get some brownie points with Him, it doesn't work. There is a new way that doesn't require any further sacrifices. The work is completed. Christ sacrificed Himself once for all time. Even eternity. It's also a living way. Throughout the centuries before Christ, the law stipulated that priests must be raised up and appointed for temple duties. Priests would come, priests would go. Like you and me, they were made of dust, humans, subject to death. Such priests, offspring from Adam, sons of Adam, in the line of Aaron, Israel's first high priest appointed by God, Aaron, traveled like any other human being on a dead-end road. But Jesus, our second Adam, our advocate, He is the living way. He can no longer die. He died and rose again. He lives forevermore, and He is our advocate. He lives and never dies again. To Him we must go. And that's why we have these three final exhortations. Let us draw near to God. Yes, our advocate pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of the Father. Let's draw near to Him. In the second exhortation, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Yeah, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, His members, to Himself in heaven. And finally, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Yes, here's the truth. Christ sends His Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but the things above, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand, and where you and I too, by the grace of God, have access and are seated with Him. Go to Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for sending us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for granting us access to your throne, for hearing us, embracing us as your children, and for granting us your Holy Spirit, and for holding before us that no matter what happens in our journey of life, the best is yet to come. Glory be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and always shall be, world without end. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.